Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Thus ends the reading this morning, and now we have some special music.
I'm glad Sue mentioned that, because I usually forget. Come on up, Bill, Jim. Morning.
First of all, I would like to thank Jim for all the wonderful music he's provided us and wish he and Diane well in their travels back to Indiana. Jim, thank you so much. I haven't done much public singing since last November, November 19th. Jim suggested a while ago, he says, we ought to try something before I leave. So we got together and couldn't quite pick our favorite. So we put together a little medley that I think you might enjoy.
Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. life. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you both. And Stu, thank you for making sure that they got to sing this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Can't count on me. And you know that song too, I'm sure the medley of songs there must have some meaning for you, Bill, too, as you've been through some of the things you've been through lately in your life when you felt tired and weary and worn. But God was with you through all of that, wasn't he? Amen. Amen. How many of you get a little annoyed by repetition over and over and over and over and over again? You know, there's some repetition that's going on in Galatians here. If you didn't realize it, as we've been going through the book of Galatians, Paul seems to be nailing the church with the same thing over and over and over again, said in a different way. Well, I'm hoping I can give you a fresh approach this morning that's a little different than last week. But he is wanting to make sure that they get something that's really, really important. Think about it. You know, how many times you go down the road, like on I-75 or a highway, and 2 miles before you got road construction going on, they've got the sign that says road construction in 2 miles. And then it's a mile and a half, and then it's a mile, then it's a half mile. And you know, the lanes are going to change over into one lane and all that sort of stuff. And you think, do I need to know that far back? Well, there's a reason why they do that, because they're trying to let bimbos know that at some point down the road, you're going to have to get into one lane. You know, we learn that as a fire department. Oftentimes when we go out on these accidents, out on the highway in particular, that even with the little bit of warning we give people, some people are bimbos. And they need to know long before they've been told that there is an accident up here and you got to slow down and get over into another lane so that everybody can be safe. I think to some degree what Paul is trying to tell the church in Galatia here is, you got to get what I'm telling you, because if you don't get what I'm telling you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So here we now are at the latter part of Galatians chapter 3, and we're going into Galatians chapter 4, and I still want to let us know a little bit about what we've talked about so far, and that is this whole idea of the promise. Way back in Abraham's day, the promise that was given to him about this one really that was to come, but his seed, this promise that was given back to him, was based on faith and belief. Well, we've got 430 years later, and Moses gets the law. And so people are thinking, well, the law replaced the promise. No, it did not. The law wasn't in conflict with the promise. It didn't replace the promise, but the law was put in place by Moses. And then we have, even yet further on down the road, which Paul is trying to bring us to, is the fulfillment of the promise that was brought in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There were some in the church that were trying to tell the people, it's the law, it's the law, it's the law, it's the law. It's all about the law. And in so doing, tend to leave out the most important part about this whole thing, which was the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about the law and found its place in all of this. It had an important place in all of this. But here's what it said, and I want to remind us of that. The law, it says, but what then was the purpose of the law? This is verse 19 of chapter 3. It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred to had come. So the law was given to show us we're in trouble. The law was given to show us you can't do it on your own. The law was given to show us that we are sinners. And the law was given to show us that there's someone who's going to take care of that, because you can't. Anyone here gone through your life with no sin? Okay. One? Less than 5,000? I don't know. The point being, we're all in this same boat together. But I wanted to look at that before we get into this Galatians 3 that we're talking about here. And it sounds a little confusing, but I think we can kind of lay it out for you in a way that's not so confusing. Why was this so important for Paul? If we are still stuck on the law as the fulfillment, nothing else matters. It leads to defeat if we think it's in the law, because we'll find out we can't keep it. It leads to no assurances. If there's one thing maybe some of you can get this morning from this text that we're going to get through here, is a blessing that comes from God to those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And some people don't get that blessing because they misunderstand what he did, is assurance. That whole idea of assurance of our salvation, because so many times we're stuck on the law. If I was just good enough, I know God saved me, but I'm still, you know, I live my life and I still mess up all the time. And they're stuck on the law. They aren't stuck on the fact that Jesus came because we couldn't fulfill the law on our own. We're saved by grace through faith, and even faith itself is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. In Ephesians is where that comes from. So if we're still stuck on the law, there's no assurances. It leads to no solution. And if we're still stuck on the law, it leads to no need for Jesus. You see why Paul was looking at this and saying, we've got a problem here, folks. If this is where some people are trying to lead you, there's a problem. Jesus was and is and will be always essential. And if you're stuck on this, you miss what is the most important part of the whole of the gospel, of the whole of the Old and the New Testament. Because the Old points to it as well. You need to get it. You see, the promise, the covenant, would be the all-in-all answer. And the promise in the Old Testament, which is a promise given to the seed, seed being that one, Jesus Christ, who would come, would be the answer. Abraham promised it, God oathed it, and Jesus fulfilled it. Faith seals all of that. Now, as we get into the text here a little bit, and I'll try to get us through here rather quickly, we read about your sons, or in a more general sense, you are sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He says that from the beginning. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is indicated through what you did as an act of baptism. When you were marked as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you proclaim your faith through that. And he says, this is what you did. This is who you are. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. You claim that. But it seems like you're starting to drift from that. Paul goes on to say, there is no one that's exempt from this possibility of adoption. He says, in Christ, for one, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all children of God. You're all one in Jesus Christ. All are equals in him. You know, that's what Jesus did, is he leveled the playing field. You see, if you and I think that we come under the law, then we start comparing ourselves to each other, don't we? You know, my neighbors are worse than I am. Not in reality. My neighbors are great. They're probably better than I am. I've got neighbors here, so I better be careful what I say. You know, we start comparing ourselves to each other. Because if we're basing this on the law, then it's like, okay, there are some super Christians and there are others that are kind of a little messed up. So we don't really see each other as equals. But you know what Jesus came to do is to level the playing field. You know, whether you were born into something that was great, you were a Jew, so you were a faithful Jew, and you were born into knowing the law and all that sort of stuff. And so you think of yourself a little more prominently than some of those Gentiles. You see, that was part of what was going on here in Galatians, is the Judaizers wanted the Gentile Christians to follow the Jewish law and to do things the way, because then you'd really be in. You'd really be it. He leveled the playing field, and Paul's saying, look, in Christ, forget all that stuff. In Christ, he is sufficient. You don't need to go everywhere else with this. He is sufficient. No one is exempt. All are equals in him. And for those who think that the Bible is sexist, I'll tell you right here, it's not. All are equal in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you've received the promise of Abraham. Because that was the promise ultimately that was given to him. You are his seed and you are heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:28, that's exactly what it says. Now we get into chapter 4 here, and it starts to talk about something that confuses at first sight. And he's talking about being a child and being versus being a son. Well, a child is a son or a daughter, vice versa. But what he's using here is terminology that we need to understand. One is infancy or being a little tiny child versus being a mature son. And those who were under the law were like little tiny kids who need to be constantly tutored and who need their parent to be there all the time. And the law was there as a guardian for those who were just little tiny kids. And kids don't always follow when they're tutored anyway, do they? You were a kid once, and even as an adult, we have issues with that sometimes. But these little kids were being tutored along, it says in the text. Under the law, we were tutored. You can't understand what the Father's doing. Because we're little kids. Little kids don't really understand necessarily what is going on. But as you mature and as you grow up, you realize what the Father is doing. In this text, he's trying to tell us you weren't like little kids who are being tutored by the law and were failing, by the way, in being tutored by the law. You are now sons. You're mature. You understand your inheritance because you understand what the Father is doing. And what the Father is doing is showing you that the answer is in Jesus Christ, not in the law. The law showed you and I that we had issues. We have problems. We're sinners. We fall short. That's what the law was put in place to show us. And the law was also put in place to show us, you know, or to protect us. A lot of those laws that God has put in place there is to show us, you know, if you don't follow my law, you're going to hurt yourself. And you're going to hurt others. As we begin to understand what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we become mature children. We become people who understand that we came into this under grace. We realize what the Father has done and live in accordance with His will because we know what He did in Jesus Christ. The freedom we experience is to live for Him, understanding the law's purpose. Just like if a little tiny child could understand why parents tell them no. They don't usually get it until actually they do what they aren't supposed to do, like the hot stove. I don't know why you told me no. I want to do it. And then when you do it, you get hurt, right? Ouch. As we mature, as we understand the fullness now of the gospel that was shown in the promise to Abraham 430 years before the law came. And then in Moses, we were shown the fact that, you know what? We're insufficient in and of ourselves. We can't keep the law. But the promise way back said there is something happening down the road here, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that's going to take care of all that. Even though Jesus was born under the old covenant, he was fully revealed under the new covenant. Jeremiah 31 shares with us that, doesn't it? The old covenant. There's a new covenant that's coming. That new covenant that's going to place the law in your hearts. The Holy Spirit is going to reside within our hearts and we're going to understand something new. It doesn't abolish what is old. It really completes and fulfills what is old. And that was completed and fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. So as it says in Galatians 4:3, so also when we were children, little children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, under the old, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy. It's all about the relationship with Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the promise. He kept the law. He revealed grace. He redeemed us. He gave us His Spirit, and He made us heirs. All this was begun by the promise given to Abraham when he said that his seed would be blessed through him, and he would be a blessing to many nations. This was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Paul is trying to lay out to his Jewish audience as well as the Gentiles, Abraham is a part of this. The promise in the Old Testament, it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Folks, any other shortcut to this diminishes Jesus. If we think we're saved by obeying the law, we diminish what Jesus did for us. Paul thought this was pivotal in the church in Galatia to let them know. This promise that was promised in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And perhaps there's some of you, as I close here this morning, that have lived your life kind of mixing and matching this a little bit. Living your life as if I've got to be good enough or I won't get in. And yet you acknowledge, on the other hand, that Jesus died for my sin and rose again that I could have eternal life. But I'm not sure that I'm good enough. You're mixing and matching. He fulfilled and completed all of that. In Christ, He is sufficient. I live my life now free to follow Him rather than being enslaved to the law. And the Old Testament, what a difficult thing it would have been for those who are living under the law. Oh, crud. I blew it again. Go grab another lamb. Go grab another whatever. Let's sacrifice again. I keep blowing it. I can't do this. Am I good enough? God, are you there? Or do you really, can you imagine living under that kind of a cloud? But Jesus fulfilled that in the New Testament. There is no other shortcut. Any other shortcut diminishes who Jesus is and what He did. And He's trying to tell us in the Galatian church the same thing. You are now sons and daughters of the King. Mature enough to understand why God did what He did. Why Jesus came and did what He did. By grace you are saved. Not by works. Not by the law, as some might try to tell you. So live in that freedom. Live knowing that He's got you covered. And because He's got you covered, live in gratitude. I want to follow His law. I want to follow His moral law because He loves me as much as He does. And He did for me what He did. But it is no shortcut. He did it, and that's enough. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for Your promise to Abraham. Thank You for showing us that we were a mess under the law. But thank You even more for the fix. It was through Your Son, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law. He obeyed it completely. He was without sin. But He knew we had an issue. And He filled the gap on the cross at Calvary and in the empty tomb. For that we are grateful. For it's in His precious and holy name we do pray. Amen.